Open your Bible to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. Begin in verse number 13. And he goeth up into a mountain, and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and to have power to heal sickness and cast out devils. And Simon, he surnamed Peter. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful that we can come before thy presence this morning, and we're aware that we can only come in the name which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus. And pray this morning that as we begin this time together, that we might see him only, that he might be glorified and magnified, and your people might be edified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And he goeth up into a mountain. That's worship. And he calleth unto him whom he would. That's lordship. And they came unto him. That's discipleship. And he ordained 12. That's leadership. That they should be with him. That's fellowship. And that he might send them forth to preach. That's stewardship. And to have power. That's partnership. And Simon, he's surnamed Peter. That's workmanship. And he goes up into a mountain. In the days that Noah came out of the ark and stood on Mount Ararat, to the days that Abraham climbed the slopes of Mount Moriah with Isaac, to the days when Moses rose to the top of Mount Sinai, to the days when our Savior stood on the Mount of Transfiguration, we see that we are called and made to worship God. Our Christian experience begins when we discover what worship is. From the wise men that came from the east, following the star in the sky, coming to a place where they discovered the Christ in order that they might worship him. The day that you follow the little light that God gave you and you discover who Jesus Christ was, your Christian experience began when you knew it was to worship. Your Christian experience and my Christian experience began when we said like Thomas, my Lord and my God. We start with worship. We can't go any further until we discover what that is. And it is our desire, and it is our prayer, that all the peoples of the world might know that there's a God in heaven, and they might come to worship him. Do you read the account? First book of the Bible to the last. You see that great theme and the call to worship. The Apostle Paul even said, when strangers come into the assembly and watch us do what we do, they might be convicted and pricked in their hearts and fall down and worship God. We don't want to call attention to ourselves. We want to worship God. And so we begin our Christian experience in this thing called worship. And we spend our lives discovering the depths and the magnitude of that exercise. And I hope that we've come here during these days to worship God. Our experience begins with worship. But the Christian life is not worship alone. For if you have met God and discovered who He is and the greatness of His mighty power, He has a plan and a purpose and a program for you and for me. And what begins with worship ends with workmanship. For we read that Simon, he surnamed Peter. God never finds us but what He changes our lives and makes us anew. It's wonderful to worship. And we come out from the world and we gather together and we seek to worship and to know God. Well, we do not have a convent or a monastery. For there is an object of worship and a purpose of worship and an exercise of worship and a consequence of worship and an effect of worship. And that is when we walk out of the place of worship, we're different. We're changed because we've been in the presence of Almighty God. And Simon, he's surnamed Peter. Peter was just a crude fisherman before he met the Savior. And the Lord of glory came into his life and he was never the same. Peter, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. He was different because he had met the Almighty in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a different man. We come here for these times, first of all, to get alone with God and to worship Him. And though I hope that we can even touch the hem of that garment. Oh, what a glory and what a blessing it is when we truly enter into the spirit of worship. When it's finally concluded and we close the book, turn out the light. Go back out into the world again. May there be workmanship. May God do business with us during these times. May we be willing to change if necessary. May we be willing to bend and to bow before the sovereignty of God. To be not what we want to be, but to be willing to forsake our fishnets, whatever they might be, and to follow the word of glory. Become fishers of men. And he went up into a mountain as worship. And Simon, surnamed Peter. That workmanship. There's something else I want to share with you this morning for your consideration, especially those that have been called to minister. Wonderful words of life. It has to do with our priorities when we go forth in this place. Verse number 14 says, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. The church is on a holy errand. The church is on a mission. The church has a job to do. He sent his disciples out into the world to preach. God has given us his eternal word, life-changing word of God. And oh, how the world needs the word today. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There are some here that have felt the touch of God Almighty on their lives to dedicate themselves to the proclaiming of God's precious word. They understand what it means when the scriptures say he sent them forth to preach. Only one that's called to preach can understand the depth of that. the power of that and the force of that and the compulsion of that. But that's not the priority. If you look at it again. Verse number 14, and he ordained 12, look at it, that they should be with him. You don't have anything to preach until you've been with him. No matter how many times we rush out and we stand and we open our mouths and it's obvious that we've not been with him. And the ancient apostle Paul said, I conferred not with flesh and blood. If we confer just with flesh and blood these days, we're wasting our time. What we need to do is to be with him. And then when we've been with him, then and only then are we ready to go forth and preach. Oh, let's not get our priorities wrong. That they might be with him. That fellowship. And then he might send them forth to preach. That stewardship. Oh, that soaring in his days. We might be with one another. That's great. More important, every single one of us will go forth from this place knowing we have been with him. Morning.
Morning.
Would you open your Bibles, please, to James chapter number 5. Beginning at verse number 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Heavenly Father, bless these minutes we spend in thy word. Help us, dear Lord, to see thee in thy glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know about you, but if I call for the elders when I get sick, hope I get an elder that knows how to pray. Here we see Elijah, God's man. We find him praying. The secret of the prophet is not in the prophecy, but in the prayer. Prophecy is merely, thus saith the Lord. Whether you're foretelling or forthtelling, it's just saying, thus saith the Lord. We're fascinated by the subject. Elijah would probably be amused, for he was simply God's messenger telling people what God said. And for him it was clear and black and white, thus saith the Lord. The secret of the prophet was in the prayer. For many, prophecy is like some kind of religious Rubik's Cube. And if we can get all the colors just right, we're happy and content. Most of us struggle with that We never seem to get all the colors in the right place. And while some are trying to get chapter and verse in the appropriate square, the real prophet is praying. If we are to see the mighty work of God, we need to discover again the secret of prayer. Elijah prayed and the heavens were opened. And here we find him in verse number 18. He's praying again. Some of you have seen the mighty works of God. Some of you older fellers have seen the fire fall from heaven. Some of you can tell us about how you put the wood in order. Some of you have been on top of Mount Carmel and you have done battle with the elements of darkness. Some of you can come and tell us about how a cloud appeared as the size of a fist of a man. And you can also tell us that the secret of the success of your ministry and of the assembly is the prayer of God's people. We don't pray enough. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. If we're to be on the cutting edge of what God is doing in this world, we have to be men and women of prayer. And if we teach the young ones anything, if there's any lesson, we need to teach the lesson of prayer. For if we can teach a man how to pray, he can open up the windows of heaven. And if we can't pray, we can't do anything. And I'd like you to consider this morning, not just the prayer, but the prayer. Verse number 16, it says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I'd like you to think about three ingredients of a prayer that avails much. Here it says it's effectual and it's fervent. And it's prayed by a righteous man. My Bible tells me that when Scripture was written, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Give us holy men that know how to pray. God's the same today as He was in the days of Elijah. And I'm not content to pull down a library book and read about revivals of days gone by. As we see the sand fall from the hourglass of prophecy and you begin to pack your bags and you're ready to go, I want to see the fire fall from heaven once again. I want to see God Almighty roll up His sleeves and demonstrate to the world that He is real. I don't want to be like the prophets of Baal dancing around in vain on some mountaintop, engaging in some exercise of vanity. What Elijah needed is what I need. I need to pray again. Why don't my prayers work? The Bible says an effectual prayer. That's an intelligent prayer. We need men. We need men. We need elders that know how to pray an intelligent prayer. To pray with intelligence. That's an effectual prayer.
fervent prayer.
When you're sick, you want an elder that can come and pray with intensity. Of a righteous man. And that elder knocks on your door and comes to your bedside. You need a man that can pray with integrity. Give me a man that can pray with intelligence and intensity and integrity. Once again, we'll see the fire fall from heaven or the rain when a man of God prays. The effectual prayer. Give me a man that can pray with intelligence. What does that mean? Someone who knows God's word and can pray in the will of God. Someone who is acquainted with the Almighty. One who has been with Him. One who has heard His word. When the elder comes and sits by your bedside, oh, that he might be a man of the book. And we go back and teach our young people the secret of spiritual success. We need to teach them how to pray. Effectual prayer. Give me a man, just one man, that can pray an intelligent prayer. The effectual fervent prayer. Give me a man that can pray with intensity. I'm not talking about a now I lay me down to sleep prayer. That's all right. When you're 5 years old. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Give me a man that can pray with intensity. You go back to Mount Carmel, you find the prophet falling on his face, crying out to God that people might know there's a God in Israel and I'm His servant. Some of us don't get so excited. Give me a man that can pray with intensity and get a hold of heaven. I don't know about you, but if I get sick, send me an elder that can pray with intensity. We can pray with intelligence. You can know the chapter and verse. And you can pray with intensity and raise the rafters with your voice. But if you don't pray with integrity, your prayers won't amount to anything. Fervent, effectual prayers of a righteous man avails much. The secret of the prophet is not in the prophet. That was just God's word. That's what He said. And God said it, and man believed it, and it happened. The secret of the prophet was in the prayer. Every great work of God, every work of God, always began with some kneeling figure.
Somebody says this is the age of Laodicea.
You believe that? The message to the church of Laodicea is, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I say, if this is the age of Laodicea, let somebody get up and open the door. And let him in.
I'm not so concerned if God's finished with America as I am if God's finished with me. Oh, God's finished with us. The secret is in the prayer. If there's a strength of angels that depends upon my prayer,
and that explains my weakness, my worry, and my care. So I kneel to pierce the darkness of a world that pierced his hand. I pray to know his fullness in this empty, barren land. I pray, for it's the lifeline of my faith and strength and power. I pray and feel God's grace sublime when I spend with him 1 hour. If I could learn to pray the more I'd learn to pray, and a key I'd find at every door, and the one who is the way.